Okay, one more time, we have Brian Kilpak, our community fire planner, Five County Association of Governments, and Spencer Rollo, Kane County Fire Warden. And I'll turn the time over to them. Right after they're done, in about 20 minutes, we'll start our official annual meeting.
So, he already introduced ourselves. I'm Spencer Rollo. This is Ben over here. What was that going on here? We're creating a new CWCP, a Community Wildfire Preparedness Plan, in the Five Sun area in southern Utah here. We started with Duck Creek, Deer Springs Ranch over here. I think that's it in King County for now. All in Bryce Woodlands up in King County. So this effort is what it does is to prepare us as fire managers in the event of a large wildfire. Helps us with road conditions, our infrastructure, things like that that are in the community. It also gives us a plan to look forward to in the future, doing field work, preparing our roads, getting our right-of-ways cleaned up so we can have good ingress, egress for fire apparatuses, things like that. And we'll have Devin kind of talk a little bit, see how he's the one that's writing all the stuff in the CWCP. And then when he's done talking, I'll take over again and kind of talk to you guys about some of the projects that we have planned out here and hopefully future projects that we're going to be able to get money. Yes, sir.
Are we under any fire restrictions right now?
We're not. The only fire restrictions that we have is we're still in closed fire season until October 31st. And what that means is you just got to have a permit up to October 31st to do like debris burning, pile burning. You can still have campfires, things like that, just normal. So.
Okay, I took this job. I'm retired Forest Service, so 37 years with the Forest Service. You got tomatoes, go ahead, you can show them, but I'm going to hand out a few compliments. You guys live in a really neat place. You have, this is what you call in the woods, and I love it. It's beautiful over here. I came here one time before. Brent Fulmer has just been a hero to me, and has helped me get going. I started this in January. I didn't know what I was doing, other than I have a passion for protecting homes. And the reason I say that is I've been the district ranger on the Pine Valley District out of St. George. Pine Valley Mountain is the area just west of the freeway between St. George and Cedar City. Looks like a big gray rock, but it's when you get up in those canyons and ledges, you think you're in Canada. It's beautiful. And the problem with that is it's wilderness. Congress, in their infinite wisdom or lack thereof, put it in wilderness, but they forgot to give us any tools to manage. Logging, Forest Service has always done logging to interrupt the natural process of fire or bugs. Fire or bugs will clean out a forest by its naturally every 80 to 100 years in Utah. And the logging process would interrupt that and take out the diseased trees and leave a healthy forest and for later use. With wilderness, you don't log. You can't even take a mountain bike in it. It's mechanized. Well, Congress, they thought they were so cool about making a wilderness for everybody, but they forgot to give us tools to manage the vegetation. And so basically we get a natural process of dead and down and decadent fuel on the ground that's just dangerous. And deer won't even use it because it's too thick. So they've moved out into the communities. That used to be one of the best hunting areas in Utah, just almost like the Poncegat right here that you guys have. But it's no longer. And it's because it's had it. The only thing I could do to manage vegetation was natural fire. What's natural fire? That's lightning. When does lightning come? June, July, August. That's when you have 10-hour burning periods. You can ask Spencer. 10-hour burning periods, and that is very dangerous. When we do prescribed fire, we do it in March or November when you have 3-hour burning periods, and you can put the dang thing out. And so natural fire comes in June, July, August. I spent 16 years trying to put fire in that mountain to get green areas just to put firefighters in there ahead of a fire. You don't put 19-year-old kids in front of a fire that's going in the canopies of trees with wind-driven situation. You just don't do it. I don't want to meet their parents by telling them I just killed your dog. And they're usually 19-year-old kids that are trying to make a living so they can go back to school. So, I punched holes in that as much as I could. And we were doing great. We were letting it burn and trying to do good. And we had a fire called the Mill Flat Fire. It was started by lightning. And I could have put it out with a bottle of water. But I didn't, because I wanted it to do its job and try to get fire back into the ecosystem. Forest Service did a bad thing 60 years ago when Smokey the Bear came around and they started suppressing fire. Fire is very important in the ecosystem, and fire is good. Well, we suppressed fire so much that this fire, the Mill Flat Fire, burned for 29 days, and it snakes around and burned ladder fuels and decadent dead fuels on the ground, doing really great. Burned 1,000 acres. On the 30th day, it went from 1,000 acres to 11,000 acres. That thing decided to get going, and it started cooking. And it brought a column of smoke up in the air, and Spencer, every hour, these guys check the weather. And they check to see what the weather's doing. And we were not told about this cold wind event that came off the 10,000-foot peak. If it's a warm wind, the column will stay in the air. The warm wind will keep it up in the air. But a cold wind, and it cuts that column out from under itself. That column is full of fire. It's got embers, and it rolled down the mountain. It didn't burn down the mountain, it rolled. And it started a new fire and a new column, and then it cut itself out again and rolled down. The third roll, it was in New Harmony. At about 11 o'clock at night, after everybody had been evacuated before that, and the reason is you just couldn't see this far in front of your face. It was, the smoke was on the ground. We couldn't use air attack because it was too smoky, so we evacuated everybody and got everybody out of there. I illegally drove in there with my little truck, and I watched a $1 million home burn to the ground. I can't drive past New Harmony without reminding myself of that awful, awful experience. So I'm very passionate about this, and I want to work with all of you who have homes or property that could be protected, and there's so many things you can do, small things you can do, working with these guys, but things you can do yourself on your property to enhance it so that it won't burn. Fire, if it'll go to the ground, then you can fight it and it can be easily put out. When it's in the canopy is when you're in trouble, and usually it's wind-driven. This is an area that's pinyon juniper, so it pretty much has to be in the canopy to destroy an area. And you get wind over here, but you've been getting a lot of rain, and that's nice. The problem with that rain is it grows ladder fuels, it grows grasses, it grows oak brush, and that's what we call ladder fuels. And that's how fire gets up into the canopy from those ladders. So what we're trying to do here is work with you, educate in a way, and talk about things in this document. And I'm sorry I don't have enough copies, but I'll get you more. And thanks to Vance, there's another compliment, Vance. Amazing guy for a website. This guy, I'm working with 8 communities right now, and nobody's got a website like you do. Nobody.
So good. On the website.
And this is on the website, so you can go on and look at it. It might be Greek to you, but if you'd like to be on the fire council that we're going to meet regularly, Brent and I and whoever, and the board if they want to, we will meet regularly and we'll get this thing so it's meaningful. One of the things I hate is a document you can't read, a government document you can't read, and it means nothing. I hate that. And we'll make this meaningful to you so that it's your document and it's something that you want to do, the goals that you want to take to protect Deer Springs Ranch, okay? Now, so we're in an early process. We're identifying things that are here, like he said, the infrastructure, the roads, and that kind of stuff. The first community I went to, and we started this thing, and one guy said, "Who in the hell is going to read this?" And I couldn't answer it. And then I got thinking about it. The first person that's going to read this, if you get a fire, is a fire team
incident commander.
We don't want that. Because if he's reading it, or she, you got a fire and you're in trouble. So that's what this will save that person hours, days of trying to get a handle of Deer Springs Ranch. Because this will have information in it that they need to make plans to get around that fire, okay? And by the way, it's not if you're going to have a fire, it's when. You will get a fire. And you will have these guys right on top of it, because they're going to be here. Now, one thing about Spencer is he's been to every one of my meetings, he knows what's going on, and he's very proactive about this. I'm not going to say much more. I just want you to know that this thing is very important to this event, but I don't want to make it Greek to you. I want to make it meaningful. It's going to have words in there that you understand, and it's going to be goals that we can do through baby steps. And we'll get them there. And then, after I disappear and go on to another community, Vance and Brent and whoever else is working on it, they will update it. They will change it. They'll change the goals when you reach those goals. You've done a lot of good. There's some really good things in here. There's some things that are scary. And that's your roads. They're narrow. They need to be brushed out. Because everything I do in this thing, I'm trying to think of driving his big engine. I'm trying to look at it in Josh's perspective of how do I get an engine in there, and how do I protect that home, and how do I do it from their perspective, okay? So I'm going to let Spencer talk about some of the things that he's got going, and then I'll be in touch with you through a monthly or so often meeting, and we will get this to a point where Deer Springs Ranch is ready to go. Thanks.
So, as he said, I've been attending these CWPC meetings, and the biggest reason for that is you guys probably don't know who I am or anything. I'm very new to the county. I came here in 2013. I'm running the engine for Earl Levanger as his assistant fire warden. Everybody knows Earl, I'm sure. He's been around for 20 plus years. He's from the area. I'm not. I'm actually from Cedar City. I took this job a year ago as the new fire warden. And so I attend these meetings to get to know people and get to know the community. Because it doesn't matter where I live or where I'm from. Every community, I take to heart. Some of the things that we do have going on out here, and Kevin touched bases on it, and it's that forest health. You guys look out here and you see the forest and you can't even walk through it. Even in a pinyon juniper oak brush forest like we've got here in Deer Springs, it's super hard to walk through. You don't see the wildlife in there anymore. I don't know how many of you guys have been here for 40, 50 plus years. It probably didn't look like this 50 years ago. The juniper is really encroached. They're a noxious weed in our mindset. And we really want to try to manage that and get it back to a healthy forest. Juniper is good, yes, but we want to get those pinyon pines back. And also bring those ponderosa pines back in the higher country. And so some of the things that we do is we're able to get government grants to help us with the fuel reduction. But also you guys can do a lot of work on your own. All of you guys are landowners up here. How many of you guys have heard of FireWise? Utah Living with Fire and FireWise, the same concept there.
Is that WUI? Is that what you're talking
about? It ties off of the WUI, the Wildland Urban Interface. Yeah, so what Utah Living with Fire and FireWise is that it gives you guys the tools and the know-how and also kind of give you guys some guidance to get your properties, your cabins, ready for the event of a wildfire. Just like Bevan says, it's not if we get a wildfire out here, it's when. It's when our conditions are right. If we go back into a drought, could be as early as next year. We go back into a drought and we'll start seeing these beautiful green-up fields and grasses. They're going to start turning brown. The trees are not. They're going to start losing the moisture that they have in them. And we're going to get those major wildfires, just like the Bryan Head Fire, the Mill Flat Fire. The Hicks Creek Fire last year was way late in October due to the drought that we had all winter or all summer. So it's really not if, it's when. And we want to prepare ourselves for that. And what FireWise does is gives us the tools and knowledge so you guys can do it on your own and not relying on our grants. Because our grant systems are extremely difficult to get. But we are getting them. We do have some money this year that we're going to be working on Cabin 2 of you guys' rentals down here by the fish ponds. We're going to be doing what we call a FireWise demonstration launch. And what that'll do is it'll give you guys a visual of actually what FireWise is and what a FireWise launch should look like. We're going to come in here towards the end of the month and cut that out and get that demo launch to where you guys can come in and visually see, not just on paper what we're looking for, but physically what we're looking for a FireWise demonstration launch. And it's going to be a Cabin 2. And in the future, we're going to continue to try to get more money and do more work and do large-scale projects. What we don't want to do is just keep doing individual launches. We want to do a large-scale project out here. The Forest Service is just getting ready to do a large-scale project on their land up on the Dixie, just behind Deer Springs here. We're going to try to get a grant to actually mimic what they're doing on the forest on the private side. If we get the grant, then we'll work forward from there.
That was my question. When I was up in Dixie, there were dead trees laying everywhere.
Yep.
We were on horseback, and every step was over a dead log.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so bad.
That's from the lack of management and the environmental movements of stopping the logging. And we're behind the eight ball. We'll never catch up. But what we got to do is what Spencer...
We got to protect our private land.
And even so what we'll do is something on the private side that'll help catch a fire and get a fire to the ground.
And the BLM
fire, if there was a fire out there, I think it would be like the Cedar Mountain.
It's exactly what it's going to be
absolutely.
Like. It's been so mismanaged for so long. And it goes back to... back to fire. We've been putting out fire because Smokey the Bear says fire is bad. And it's put that into the mentality of everybody. If Smokey the Bear says fire is bad, when you see smoke in the air, it's a bad thing. It's not. It's part of our natural ecosystem. We got to bring fire back into the reality here. We need that fire to manage that land.
The Bryan Head Fire started 30 years ago.
It did.
The logging was halted. And we weren't going in there and cleaning up forests and spreading them out so that fire couldn't go from tree to tree because it went to the ground. And by the way, I put on three links on the website. I plan to put them on the website, but I didn't. You should go look at those. Two of them are areas that we treat, that he's talking about, have been treated by Forest or BLM. And it's what we want to do here. And then the other one is what you can do personally for around your cabin. And what a cabin won't start on fire unless you have pine needles or something in the rain gutters. That's what starts on fire.
So it's not actually the initial flame front that starts cabins on fire. It's called the ember shower. It's the ember storm leading up to and after the fire. It actually starts your cabins on fire. So... cleaning out your gutters, closing your eaves on your cabin, making sure there's nowhere the embers can get trapped and hide out and things like that. That's what starts your cabins on fire. So we can eliminate those, given that spacing between your cabin, that 30 foot, and then that 70 foot after the 30 foot, creating that 100 foot buffer around your log homes, your cabins, your houses, is going to help with those ember showers. Is what it does is it reduces the fire activity and reduces those embers coming into your cabin area. So that's what we try to look forward to. Did you put the Duck Creek, Greater Duck Creek YouTube videos, Eric Eastman.
Yes, that's one of them.
So I
want to
talk about that a little bit. The Shingle Fire. Everybody's probably familiar with the Shingle Fire that happened in 2012 up on Shingle Mountain. 8,000 acres. What people don't know is that there was actually another fire, the Plains Creek Fire, that started 2 weeks prior to that, that only went 1 acre. And because of that, because of this, it started in a fuel treatment area where they had been managing and where they cleared out all the trees. It only went 1 acre. The Shingle Fire started in an untreated area and burned 8,000 acres. So watch that video on YouTube. And he uplinked those on there. So you guys can go look at it. To see the difference is amazing. And it's a great tool for us to send people to show it really does work. Cutting trees back and managing the forest that is on your land really does work.
And he said, cleared out all the trees. Not all the trees. Just cleared out a lot of the dead down ladder so that it can't get up in the canopy.
It opened the canopy 30 foot again.
And
what it was supposed to be at.
And it's a better forest. The wildlife moved back in. Because the sun gets to the ground, and things that grow will happen, and things that they like will grow. And so it's just better for everybody.
So really quick, because I know we're going to be running out of time here. I want to mention the Brian Head Fire. Something, you know, everybody's badgering the Forest Service for not doing, you know, mismanaging or whatever. I want to remind everybody that the Brian Head Fire started on private land. The private landowner failed to manage his own forest on his own land, and it took 71,000 acres of our beautiful forest. So, if we can do our part on the forest, or on our land, on our private land, we can maybe avoid it getting into some of these public lands and destroying the beauty of it. So,
once all the flooding's done, and you get some aspen coming back in, that'll be the best thing that ever happened to that country.
It really is. The aspen regrowth
for the time being, it's horrible because I always worried more about the flooding after a fire than I did the fire. Because believe me, there's nothing on the ground to hold that soil from coming right into your backyard. So I always worried about the flooding worse than I did the fire. But once that the flooding stage gets over with, then that's going to be the best thing that ever happened to that country, except that it burned those homes, and that shouldn't happen.
And took all of our conifer out, which we need our pine trees.
Yep.
So, any questions for any of us? Yeah, go ahead.
You guys encourage or discourage native grasses?
We want native grasses to grow. Native grasses in our country, because we're in a desert, they actually retain that water moisture, unlike what we call the cheat grass, dry grass. That stuff dries out so fast. It's not native to this land, so it's not accustomed to our climate. Our native grasses are. They'll stay greener longer, and they don't burn near as intense or as fast as our cheat grass, our unnative grasses. So, yeah, I encourage native grasses and thinning out those juniper trees, getting rid of the juniper trees.
Can you specific types of native grasses that you're talking about, if you want to put
them together? I'm not a biologist. I don't know what the native grasses are, so.
Larry Bear,
do
you have any idea?
Nope, I can probably find out.
Yeah, I mean, there's
I have a book that was developed by the Soil
Conservation
or something. And
I know it's on the Utah Living with Fire website as well. There's plants and stuff that you can plant. They're native.
When I was talking to you earlier, as far as doing fire prevention on a private ground, you said keep track of your hours, so that will help with
getting grant process.
One of the things that this process for that document I'm doing, and it's, by the way, it's mandated by the Utah legislature now. You must have this document if you're going to get grant money. But what it'll do is once you have this document, not finalized, but just in place, you know, and it's that way right now, it's in place, then we can use that as leverage to get grants through Spencer to do work on the ground. Now, one of the things that the grant requires is some a match by the community. Well, they don't care if it's dollars or time. Your time can be in kind match. So coming to this meeting
can count for
everybody for an hour listening to our stuff. That counts. And so anything you do, if you're cleaning up the pine needles out of your gutters, log it. Just remember it so that it can go when we start talking about our goals in here. And one of the goals in here is to get a grant to complement what the Forest Service is doing on the Powell District.
As well as the BLM.
As well as what the BLM's done. And then the grant that he's got already that's going to go up there by the little ponds. Whatever you do, that will match that, and we'll go from there. Okay, his grant will also be a leverage to the next grant. Okay,
the more work we can show, the easier it is to get the grant.
So there's tricks we can do. Here's the woolly code that you're talking about, and this is a.
It's on the county website as well.
Okay, it's on the county website. This is basically you're required to, when you build your home, to meet this code, and it just talks about materials and so forth of what to use. But go to the website and look at those three links, those YouTube videos. They'll really help you.
Just hours. I just need hours. So, any other questions? Okay, I think our time is way over
Thank you guys.
So thank you, Spencer. Devin.
So I counted about, there's about 40 some odd of us here, so it's great to have that many here at an annual meeting on especially a rainy day, and I'd like to welcome you, and we will now start our meeting. I've asked Larry Bear if he would give an invocation on the meeting, and then we'll the roll call's been going around, so Larry, would you do that now, please?
Guys, Ron,
we're having a prayer.
Our Father in heaven, as we come before you this afternoon, we're thankful for the blessings we have at this beautiful place that we have property in. We ask for thy spirit to be with us, that we might have a meeting that we will all be edified and understand the things that's going on and the things that we can do to help it to improve. We're grateful for all the blessings we do have, and especially for being with this Pure Springs project. Help us to enjoy our time here and be able to bring our families and let them have a peaceful, enjoyable time. We ask you to be with us now. Help us to understand what goes on and that we might be a benefit. We do this in the name of our Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much, Larry. Seems like Larry gets asked to give prayers quite often up here, so maybe we'll have to make him official resident pastor here or something.
Oh boy, you're in trouble.
Okay. So now we've been passing around a roll. Has everyone signed the roll? We really want to make sure we have it counted for everybody. Anybody has not seen the roll? Candy Bose has the roll. All right. We will have our business secretary, Mariah. Where'd Mariah go?
Right here.
Mariah is going to read. Jeff Mickelson couldn't be here today, and. So Mariah is going to read the minutes from last year. What we did is we gathered the minutes from last year right after the annual meeting. We had the board. Thank you. We had the board read them and approve them, but it's up to the membership to approve them, and so that's why we read them every year. And so we'll have Mariah read them right now.
Okay.
Okay. Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association annual meeting held September 10th, 2016 at Deer Springs Ranch headquarters at 10 a.m. Officers of the board present, Phil Hall, Jody Akers, Joe Bose, Jeff Mickelson, Leland Gentry, John Harris, Robert Musco was absent. Item number one. Phil Hall called the meeting to order and welcomed those in attendance. Dale Clarkson offered the prayer. Members were asked to sign a roll at the gate to record attendance. Item two. The minutes from the 2015 annual meeting were read. Jody Akers made a motion to approve the minutes. Kathy Gentry seconded the motion. The minutes were approved. Item three. Jody Akers presented the 2016 year-to-date financial report for Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association. Item 4. Candidates for the 2016 Board of Directors. Barry Clarkson, Leland Gentry, Phil Hall, Tamara Hardin, Brad Hunt, Elizabeth Jammin, Ed Kennedy, Tammy Levitt, and Mark Rowley. Each candidate introduced themselves and shared a brief platform statement and responded to questions from members. Tammy Levitt chose to withdraw her candidacy due to personal reasons. For specific responses, please refer to the audio of the meeting, which is posted on the website. Item number five. Ballots were called for by Mariah Wheeler, Assistant Ranch Secretary. Item number six. Reports from the Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association Board Members' Areas of Responsibility. A. Jody Akers reported on legal and water. She then resigned from the Legal and Water Committee. B. Joe Bose reported on facilities, cabins, and ranch equipment. The Holiday Inn Express and Kanab donated some mattresses to the ranch. Decorative gravel delivered and spread around Cabin 3. Walkway completed on Cabin 3. New locks for cabins installed. Backhoe and screen grizzly purchased. Approved equipment operator list and rental policy. C. Leland Gentry reported on agriculture and wildlife. Thistle control is important. Two beekeepers on the ranch, honey available in the ranch store, dedicated hunter program and various hunts discussed, mountain lions and bears discussed. D. John Harris reported on road maintenance. A map of the roads was presented and explained. 1,000 yards of gravel screened, roads were graded and culverts installed, lot members and neighborhoods encouraged to work together. And E. Jeff Mickelson reported on ranch communications, radios available for purchase, Hughes Internet and GoDaddy hosting costs increased, reservation flow chart presented. Item number seven. Paul and Nancy Brayton provided the ranch manager's report. Some cabins were painted outside and paint touched up inside. New mattresses were obtained from Hotel and Kanab. Backhoe was used by Half Moon Reservoir and the Red Reservoir. Some roads were graded, culverts installed, ditches dug, and cattle guards installed. State of Utah inspected the ranch water systems. Item number eight. Phil Hall provided a state of the ranch report. Improvements have been made on the ranch, the cabins, roads, and water systems. Changes have been made to the bylaws and protective covenants. Members need to work together. Number nine. Mike Ewing, Cowboy Balladeer, provided entertainment during lunch. An auction was held. Number 10, election results. Official ballots were counted during the annual meeting by a committee of five under the direction of Mariah Wheeler, Deer Springs Ranch Secretary and Reservation Clerk in Training, and further under the supervision of Board Member Jody Akers. Committee members were Mae Woolsey, Lois Nyman, Nancy Brayton, Blaine Wheeler, and Sunshine Harris, with Tammy Levitt as board-approved observer. 192 ballots were cast. The three new Deer Spring Ranch Owners Association Board of Directors members are Brad Hunt with 117 votes, Barry Clarkson with 103 votes, and Phil Hall with 96 votes. There was a tie for the third position between Phil Hall and Tamara Hardin. The candidates were notified that there was a tie and were given the opportunity to withdraw. Both candidates declined. The candidates were then given two options, one, a coin toss, or two, a revoting of all Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association members. It was decided by the candidates that they would accept the coin toss. Tamara Hardin was given first choice and chose tails. The coin toss was performed by Tammy Levitt, and the result was heads. Phil Hall was congratulated as the winner. Item 11, open forum. please refer to the audio of the open forum posted on the website. Item 12. The annual meeting was adjourned. Many thanks to all who put this annual meeting together, the Hunt family for the lunch, the individuals who assisted in counting the votes, Mike Ewing for the entertainment, those who came to the ranch today. Thank you all for being a part of Deer Springs Ranch. And item number 13, an executive session was held to elect officers for the coming year. That concludes the report.
Thank you very much, Mariah. I would entertain a motion, or is there any discussion or correction to the minutes that the membership would like to bring to our attention? Seeing there's none, I would like to entertain a motion to accept the minutes as read to us. Do I see a motion to so do?
I'll make that motion.
Vance? Well, and I need a second on that motion.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any disapprove? Raise your hand. Okay. Very good. Thank you. So the minutes are approved. You may notice we changed the format just a little bit. In years past, we've spent sometimes 45 minutes to an hour and a half listening to candidates. So we had all of the candidates submit their bios or their information to you, and we've sent that out with the mailings. But I would like to just have them stand so you recognize their face, because right after this, we found that it takes a long time to count all those ballots. So right after this, Mariah will walk around and accept your ballots and begin that process. And again, she has five people. How many?
Five. There's five on my committee again. If anyone would like to know the names of those names, I'd be happy to disclose.
And will you explain what the other thing, they're each signing that document that we...
Yes. So this year in our voting room, we will have a confidentiality waiver that will be signed by each member, including myself, in the ballot room. And also we've taken another precautionary measure as well, and the ballots will be completely anonymous. Those who are counting the ballots will be counting completely anonymous ballots.
Thank you. So we've tried to make it as fair and unbiased as possible, and to help you all have assurance that, not that we've ever had major problems, but we want you to feel good about the fact that the elections are done as good as we can humanly figure out how to do it. So, with that, are there any
no.
Here, yes.
I would like you to read what your bio was so that everybody can see what kind of people you are. I want that read that was sent out to all the members.
I'm sorry, I will decline that request because everybody
I
has
it. I want it heard so everybody knows how despicable you are.
You see, we try to avoid negative things like that.
Well,
so, please,
you can't.
I would ask to call for order and ask you to be silent.
Well, you can't ignore...
All right, we will proceed. Because we don't want to add more negativism here.
Then why did you write your bios like you did? That's about as negative as it comes.
Madam,
are you going
I would ask
me
you
out?
To cease and desist or please leave the meeting. Will you adhere to that?
I just wanted to make sure everybody...
Will you adhere to that?
Of course.
Thank you. All right. With that, then, anybody that has not handed in their ballot, you may so do to Mariah at this time. Just so you know, if somebody comes late to the meeting, as long as we haven't finalized the voting, they may submit their ballots.
That's okay.
Do you?
No.
You think you can go ahead while we're collecting?
Yes, you betcha.
Okay, while Mariah's collecting so that we can keep the meeting moving along, we'll have Jody Akers give us our financial statistical report.
Okay. Currently, we have about $78,000 in the main checking account. We have a little over $1,000 in the ranch manager's account, and we're still holding our $11,500 in the savings. We're doing really good financially this year. We haven't used up what we have allocated to certain categories, but during the next month, we'll figure that out and see where we can split more stuff up or what other special projects we can get done. Along with our normal maintenance and upkeep issues this year, we had many special projects that have been completed. And I'm going to read those off to you, and then the department people can tell you a little bit more specifically about them when they do their reports. But we did a remodel of the bottom floor of the ranch house. We did the chimney was relined as well. We spent about $3,500 for some lightly used solar equipment for the HQ to replace old components that we already have in place. Y'all noticed the new laundry shed. They've got that up, and we got nice shelving in there. It's wonderful in there. I think the only thing we need left for her in there would be a fan and a light for her. We had a new septic system installed on cabin one. Joe will tell you about that later. We had Half Moon Reservoir was cleaned out because we were getting overflow. It was getting too full, and Alan came out and did a really good job on that. And a major overhaul was done on cabin two. Joe, again, will tell you more about that in his report. And we also purchased four new tires for the backhoe and got them mounted. All those things we did that were not included in this year's budget. We had the savings account in line so we could use it if we need to, but right now the savings is still safe and sound, but if we need to fall back on the savings, we will. I don't think we're going to have to this year because I'm looking at still ending the year with about $15,000, depending on what the department heads do between now and the end of the year. So financially, we're doing good. We've also purchased a commercial-sized washing machine to limit the number of trips that they had to go into town to do laundry. And I'll tell you what, from looking at the gasoline spent and the trips to town, it's like, these guys aren't leaving the ranch. So they're apparently being able to do a lot of the laundry right here. We've collected about $600 in donations because, again, this was another item that was not on our budget, and we didn't want to spend money that we didn't have. So Phil Hall suggested that we start a donation. He suggested he donated $200. Joe and Candy Jose donated $100. Bob and Barbara Becker $100. Lee Bella $100. And myself and my husband $100. And we put that donation towards the project, but we're still about $400 short. If anybody would like to pitch in with that, there's a little laundry basket over there on the auction table. That's not being auctioned. That will have money in it. Don't be taking the money out. We're laundering money over there, so go ahead and put your donations in there so we can put it towards the wash machine. Like I said earlier, the department heads will go more into details about their individual reports on the items I've listed above. But before we get to that, and I just want to thank some people and gratitude to the department heads and our new ranch management team and a few members that make this place what it is. Many of you just don't realize the time and effort and dedication these people put in to make this a better place and to make it a nicer place for y'all to enjoy. I first want to thank Brent Fulmer for working his butt off to keep things in order after the Braytons left and for spending the time with Alan and Frieda to get them comfortable here and get them acclimated to this huge job. It was overwhelming. I'm sure it was daunting for them, but they've come through like real troopers. We also need to thank Alan and Frieda for taking on the challenge and working their butts off to cleaning up this joint. I lost my place in line here. Excuse me for a minute. Yeah, big round of applause for them. And they just dug right into all the tasks that were just at hand and just overwhelming when they got here. I know it's been exhausting for them, yet they haven't run away yet. Key word here being yet. Did you catch that back there? Okay. We also need to thank Alan and Fita, Brent and Larry Meltzer for the time and effort and labor it took to remodel that ranch house. One last huge thank you, again, Alan and Thea, Joe and Candy, for spending hours tearing down the walls and ceilings of Cabin 2, replacing them with new material, then running cement board along the perimeter to help eliminate the constant mouse problem. Y'all know we've had a constant mouse problem there. That work that they did was just incredible, and I can't even, I don't know how much time, but I'm sure he might tell you. So please, 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 remember to show your support these people. None of us up here get paid. None of y'all get paid. Okay, just two people. And Mariah. So it's so important that we have this support, and we need as many volunteers as we can get, because we ain't getting any younger, folks, really, So I don't know how long they can keep this kind of stamina up, but so far, so good, and I want to just thank them all, and a big round of applause to all these guys. Thank you, guys. I have posted the 2015, 16, and 17 partial profit and loss statements on the wall for you guys to review. You can see we've been working quite efficiently with your dollars and have been able to roll the excess funds into the savings account, which we will continue to do so. This is where the funds come to do these special projects that are listed above and without depleting our regular maintenance fund. If anybody has any question about where the dollars go and how they're being utilized, please feel free to talk to Mariah or myself after the meeting or any time in between. We both have the QuickBooks here with us. We can go through categories if you want, whatever. But it's all in black and white right there, and things that are on there have needed to be done. We have a lot more on our wish list, and hopefully we get more on our wish list done every year as we keep saving and spending these dollars more efficiently. And now Mariah would like to do a cabin summary report.
Also, for anyone interested, the minutes are right here. Immediately, I can hand them to you if you'd like to. But it talks with the meeting agenda, and also our profit and loss sheet. On the back of the agenda, the next page is just a cabin usage report. I thought it might be interesting for you all to know how the cabins are being used. I have a 2016 cabin usage report and a 2017. Unfortunately, I don't have enough information in 2015, but we'll start with 2018, and then we'll have a three-year run, and we'll be able to do some good statistical reports and see how these cabins are being used. In short, just for your information, in 2016, as of August 31st, our cabin income was about $9,000. By the end of the year, including pay-for-play fees, reservation fees, non-member fees, any fee to do with the cabins, our total was $16,200 and some change. So that was an increase of about 44% from August to the end of the year. We're going through August just because at this point, that's the best information I can give you right now. So for 2017, we have had an income of $10,600 in cabin fees, which is approximately 14% greater than it was last year. So by forecasting, we're figuring based on that 44% increase from August to the end of the year that we should receive a revenue of $15,200 on cabins, which is wonderful. Also included on this chart for your own reference, to the far left is a total number of days the cabins are reserved. Now, please understand this comes with a little bit of variance. Sometimes cabins are reserved for a week, and our folks like to stay for just a couple days of that week. So this is the best of my knowledge. This is how many days of the year the cabin was reserved. And then next to that is the total amount of days that the cabin could be reserved for the year. So if you're interested, there's that bit of information. That's where
thanks, Mariah. We're good.
You're welcome.
You're completed.
Great. Thank you, Jody. Thank you, Mariah, for that extra information. We will, Mariah, do you have all the votes? Has everybody handed in the votes that they have on them right now that want to handle? Mariah, then I would like to invite you to start the process so we can... Because usually we're kind of stalling after lunch, and because we have a time after lunch, when we get the results, we will adjourn just for about 15 minutes for the new board to organize themselves, and then we'll have an open forum discussion, as noted on the agenda, where people can bring up And that's a little more of a place where you want to bring up your concerns, your disappointments, your ideas. That's the place to do it. And we did that last year, and it was quite. It helped a lot with, and the year before helped a lot with coming together on some items like the water documents that took so long to do. So it says right now that I'm supposed to give you the look to the future, but what I end up doing oftentimes is covering some of the material from these reports. And so I'm going to do that at the end of special presentations by the board. And ask, just as it's listed here on our agenda, that we start with Joe on equipment, facilities, and cabins, and just go right down that list. So, go ahead, Joe.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Mariah. She's doing a great job on keeping track of things. As far as the pay-for-play, a lot of things happened to cabins over the years. Like, for example, cabin number one, we lost a septic system. We're into it about $6,000 to put a whole new one in.
I can hardly hear you right here, so really? I can't imagine they can.
We put a new septic tank system in cabin one. The pipe had crushed. It backed up three times this year, so we got a whole new tank, a whole new leach bed. The whole system was completely redone, so cabin one's up and running. We're into it about $6,000, give or take a little. Cabin two got infested with mice pretty bad, to the point where the ceiling was even collapsing in the master bedroom. So thanks to Alan and Theta, they took the whole ceiling down and rebuilt the whole thing. We put fire break walls all the way around so mice can't get inside. They can't run from room to room. We put concrete wallboard down along the outside to prevent mice from getting under the cabin. Underneath the sink, Alan also redid all that. We trapped some of the mice in, I think, but hopefully we'll catch those. And hopefully no more will get in. Cabin 2 should be in pretty good shape. As far as the equipment goes, we got the bucket welded. It has some cracks in it. Like Jody said, we put some new tires on it, so we're in good shape with the equipment. Alan fixed some hydraulic leaks on the grader. One of the valves had gone bad. He and Brent found the valve that was bad, and I had to order the part in Vegas through, John Deere, and then we fixed that, so the leaks are fixed there. We're trying to stay on top of stuff. It seems like everything that takes an hour to do in town takes 6 hours up here. It's just a slow process for doing everything. You need something, you got to go here and there and everywhere just to get a part. I want to do cabin number four. Alan's going to start. We're going to have to pull the water heater out of cabin four. I want to reline that whole closet with concrete wallboard to prevent the mice from going in through there, and put the concrete wallboard around cabin four also. Hopefully we can keep the mice out of that one, and we'll just keep doing every couple of cabins every year or two if we can, or two or three if we can.
What is it? Steel wool?
Steel wool.
If you stick those in the hole, they won't ever...
Well, we not only do that, we get the heavier steel wool, and then we spray the spray foam in there, which prevents them from eating through the steel wool or pulling it out. Now one's doing that with the plumbing in cabin two. Like I said, I think we did a good job on two. We had a report, no, the mouse was in there, but unfortunately, I think we trapped him in, and so he couldn't get out. So once we catch him, that'll hopefully they'll put a stop to it. Any questions?
Remodeled the ranch house?
Yeah, we remodeled the ranch house. Brent Farmer and Larry Meltzer did most of it, and then Alan and Fita have been cleaning up on it. We took a wall down, made it bigger, put a whole new floor in it. It's all a vinyl floor now. It should be good for longer than I'll be around, I think.
Talk to them about why we would like to get a dump truck. How would it help us in the future?
The dump truck? Yeah, we don't have a dump truck. We're trying to save money for a dump truck. The backhoe and the grader's been really a godsend for getting things done and saving quite a bit of money on outside contractors. If the budget holds up this year, we can hopefully buy a dump truck this year or early next spring, and then we can keep on going. keep, because we can do our own gravel. We have our own grizzly now to screen our own gravel. If we had a dump truck, we could haul it, because it's pretty expensive to get a truck up here just to haul gravel for us. We put in some culverts, and trying to think what else we got. The laundry shed's really helping. It's completely mouse-proof. It's all set up. We got to get a fan in there for feet. It's pretty warm in there, so you need a battery-operated fan because we're not set up for electricity, but we can do some solar with a battery fan. Put some insulation in the ceiling to help keep it cooler. And that's about all I got.
Thanks, Joe. Joe's done a great job in organizing, and frankly, Joe's can fix about anything. He's a Mr. Do-It-All. I think we're going to skip down to Brad because Brad's got a lot to do with cooking here and is going to need to take off when we're getting close to 12, about 20 minutes before, and get the food in order. So, Brad, let's let you go ahead. Been a heck of a year. Got elected to the board last year. It's my first year on the board. We lost our ranch managers, so one of the first staff that we were assigned to, obviously, was we had to replace those. It was quite a challenge, actually, and we, those of us that served on the committee, to elect a new board member. And a lot of time going through applicants. We boiled them all down, and we actually, Tammy and I actually met with three different applicants and brought them from St. George to the ranch to see the ranch in the early month of the year. I've probably been on the ranch at least once on every month of the year so far this year. We brought those folks out here, and probably the crowning jewel of what I feel like the best about what I was able to help accomplish or be a big part of it is, Alan, would you stand up, please, over there?
I think he's got a leg cramp.
Well, I feel like it would have been a success serving you as a board member if that's the only thing that we did, but we ended up hiring them early in the year, so we still had to do more. There's a lot of things that we were part of that we got done that's exciting. If you haven't looked in the laundry shed, when you get a second, just walk over and look in there. It was embarrassing for me to have my family here and have them take the dirty laundry over there and see the condition that they were getting their own linen out of that they were sleeping on. It's a huge improvement and a great thing for Alan and Cedar to be able to have a nice, clean, organized environment for them to work through. So that was a great success. You might have noticed I was able to tour the ranch with the Garcane manager, the manager over Garcane himself. And we've just recently made a switch for the ranch to switch our propane carrier to AmeriGas to Garcane. We save over $1 a gallon now for the propane that we purchased through Garcane. If any of you are still with AmeriGas, they'll give you the exact same deal that they've given us as a ranch. So any members that is with AmeriGas, and if you don't decide to switch right now, if you want to run your tanks down, you want to switch in later on this year or next year, then they'll still give you the same deal that they gave us, which is that they will take your tank, and when AmeriGas fees you for returning their tank and pumping their gas out, they'll help you reducing the cost of the money that they charge you on the first fill to help compensate and pay you back for switching over to Garcane. We saved, I think last year was $1,400 we paid for tank rentals. This year we're going to pay $12 for tank rentals. So AmeriGas trying to keep our account, reduced their $1,400 down to $400, offering us to keep the account there. Anyway, that's available for all members. And I just wanted to let you know that if you're any of you still use AmeriGas,
You can have no fee for your hookups. They'll charge you nothing except for propane. They'll come out and give you all the service that we've been receiving. And instead of having to rent your tank, basically they'll give it to you for $1 a year and put a tank on your property and change it out for you. I was assigned over to agriculture, wildlife, and fire. Agriculturally has been a challenge. There's been a lot that hasn't been done on the ranch, and we didn't really have a plan. So one of the first things we did was we met with the county, Kevin Heaton, our county agent, and he came out, and I toured the ranch with Kevin and got some ideas about a plan. The next thing, I met with the NRCS people, Lee Woolsey. My first guy was Zach Orton, and he got a different job, and then we had Lee Woolsey, and I met with both of them. And then their boss now is Christy Westwood, and I had her bring her engineer and come out, and we have developed a range management plan for the ranch as far as trying to attack our noxious weeds, our thistle, and how we should be doing. We've been educated quite a bit this year and have developed what we feel like is a good plan to beautify and take care of actually the ranch itself that, you know, gives us all the beautiful things that we enjoy here. If any of you are interested later, I'd be happy to show you what our plan is. It's about a five-year plan. There's opportunity for us to work with our cattle contractor, Doug Hunt, through a grant process that we, $40,000 worth of the plan that we have planned to put in place could be funded to us. It wouldn't just be a gift, it would be a cost share. For example, if we were to take and eliminate all of the rabbit brush back out in this field, they'd go by the acre and they'd say, we'll pay you $78 an acre. Our cost is going to be $100 an acre. So we would pay the difference between $78 and $100 to have that done. And so we're hoping to push our budget monies four times what we've ever had to be able to do and to use them and to attack in the right way and actually eradicate the brush instead of just to chop it down and have it to go back and crack up again. We also have some water projects that we've applied for as far as putting new water troughs and lines for wildlife and livestock. We have some beautiful livestock on the ranch, and we have some beautiful livestock or wildlife on the ranch. And it's sometimes easier and important to provide habitat for every improvement we make improves habitat for our wildlife and also for the livestock that we can make money on. The bees didn't show up this year. It wasn't in their strategy. We're kind of their middle area. They had a wet spring, and the bees went from their lower to the higher altitudes, and we haven't seen bees on the ranch this year, although they were invited to bring them back. I think they were met with good success, and people enjoyed them last year. There was a lot of volunteer work that have been performed on the ranch. We mentioned some of that in the newsletter that we sent out. We apologize if we forgot or omitted any of you who have volunteered and performed things. I know that when we had the Clarkson event that was around our birthday party, I noticed that Slide Canyon had some new wooden rails or wing rails at the road of Slide Canyon put up, and we've had some other signs on that, and I admitted that as I was thinking back through some of the things. But we appreciate everyone who steps up and spends time, money, effort, or even just brings ideas to the ranch. We try to be very open and meet as many of our ranch owners, lot owners, and try to get feelings and validate them and their concerns and try to develop some kind of a plan, as I've been approached with every single member that I talked to individually on the ranch. I'm hoping that this plan can continue forward. I know that we're... Christy Westward told me that we are the very next person to be funded, so I hope that this is all the work to work, gain additional funds so we can push our budgets and really make a difference in just a few years on this ranch. Works out. But we're looking forward to this next coming year, and we appreciate everything that all of the board members have done. There's countless hours, way more than I even thought possible as before I accepted that nomination. So don't nominate me again.
I'll second that with me too.
And if anybody has any questions, if you'd like to see any, we have some problems with fencing. We've done lots of fencing and different things. Some people want to know where our boundaries are. If you get with me, I'd be happy to show exactly where the fences are, fences that we've worked on, fences that we need to work on. If you want to see our range management program, then I'll explain that in further detail. So I don't have anything else unless anybody has a question. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad. I think just to give you a heads up, it's about a quarter to. We'll probably be done with this part about 10 after, maybe quarter after. About 10 after 12.
What time is it now? You got about 25 minutes.
Okay.
No matter how sucky this meeting can be, we're going to have good food.
All right. Another great board member, John Harris, has done a lot for us, and I'll have you listen to his report, John.
I've been in charge of the roads for last year and this year. We've had some major work washouts over in the Podunk this year that we had to put in some larger culverts and a lot of major work over. We spent quite a bit of money over there on one spot that washed out that was very, very dangerous. And it seems to have washed out several times over the years. Hopefully with what we did this time, it's going to hold. The people over there and the Podunk seem to like it. We have quite a large culvert there that we had to extend and out so we can make the road wider. There was a water line running down through the road. That water line, thanks to the Podunk people over there, they moved their line off the edge, and between that line and our roads not being correct, that kept washing out and breaking the line. And so we've got that handled now. And we've hauled some dirt, some gravel over there for another area and some protecting culvert. This year we've done some road work up Crawford up above Phil's place up there. We did some there. And on the Metal Canyon we had a good deal of washouts this year and culvert plugged up. And because the county was up there working on the loop up there, we have an agreement with them to use our roads. They were gracious enough to come down and help us repair those culverts. One of them was really washed out very badly, and they did a lot of major work and cut some trenches there so the water would divert another way rather than run over the road. And I think they helped with about seven different culverts, and along with Alan, and he was up there working on that. They also put up a bunch of signage this year, if you can look on Metal Canyon, to try to keep people slowed down and and watch for the animals and for some of our people riding on their ATVs there. So the county has done that for us. I did thank the men that were working on this these culverts up there. I think they went over and above, and I also let Dirk Clayson know that I was thankful that they did that. And so we had some help there. Unfortunately, about 3 days later, here came another storm. Guess what it did? It washed that same culvert out, that one big culvert. And so we had to make a repair on that. I'm still waiting for this dump truck we keep talking about because we need to put some gravel on there. We also put a culvert back out here on a ranch road that's going up towards Brad's place and their place. We put a culvert in there this year because we had, that was just a flood zone. The whole thing would flood and you couldn't even drive through it. So we diverted the water there with the culvert. And that was about a 30-inch culvert in there. I haven't done much over in the... I haven't done really anything over in Slide this year, but thankfully to Dale and Larry Clarkson's, they've been doing some work and they're maintaining some of those roads, so I'm thankful for that. But that relieves me, because I don't have the truck, and Alan has been the dump truck to haul, and Alan has been very busy with working on these cabins 1 and 2, so he was very busy there, and so I couldn't use him there. I tried to get a dump truck out here to do some work as we go up Middle Canyon. We got between a gravel pit and a road going out to Broad Hollow. We got about 4 places that are in bad need of gravel because it gets really, really muddy in there. We have a truck lined up and he's going to do some other work for here, but he's in Canada right now and I wanted to get it done before the board meeting. Tammy Levitt, and I was talking with her and her husband last week or the week before. She pointed out in Slide there was a couple of culverts that are plugged up. That's a goal for me to get over and get those taken care of. And I'm trying to think of anything else that we might have done on the roads. I can do much more when we get our dump truck. And, and we did have to do a lot of work on some of our equipment this year to get it ready, so we weren't able to use it early on. Again, I want to go back to Podoc, and I'm very thankful for the folks over there because they did about a half a mile of road over there a week before last, I believe, bringing their own dump truck, and they had about 2 of their own dump trucks, and they used our tractor. I furnished a little fuel, but they did the work, and I like that when a neighborhood gets together and pulls together and does something, so that worked out well. Anyway, that's about all I can think of now. And
John, is that, you know, we cleared out that reservoir, is that part of the...
We did clean out the reservoir. Actually, the reservoir was on the Water Reclamation Committee that approved that, the reservoir and the sediment area above it, about a quarter of a mile above it, there's a sediment area that we paid Alan Steed come out and dug that out and cleaned out the Half Moon Reservoir. Another point, Larry did clean out an area there that's coming down off of Crawford there that we cleaned out. And I think that's it. Now that thing wants me to shut up.
Thank you, John.
We're
They were just tooting your horn. Okay. Oop, wrong list here. So let's see.
Barry.
Barry.
All right.
I was assigned this year to work on two committees, on the water committee and on the legal committee, both of which are things that you don't see much of, and they're pretty boring, to be honest with you, but they have to be done. So I can tell you, first of all, in the water committee, that with the ranch managers leaving and changing over, we had a bit of a struggle. And as Brad mentioned, it took quite a while for us to search through and do everything necessary to find the Andersons, and we're glad that they're here, and not enough can be said. But also on the water committee, it simply wouldn't function without Vance, Brent, and Paul is still doing our testing and our certified operator. And so as water goes, there wasn't as much time dedicated this year as there will be next year, just because of the other obligations and time constraints with trying to get things up and running, changing over the management, and getting a lot of projects done. And so our goal next year is to look a little bit more in conjunction with Brad and what he's doing with providing better water for cattle, wildlife, and for ranch members. So that's important.
A little more. Do one little thing, just tell you about that.
The second thing is on the legal committee, just to report. The legal committee, during the process of the year, we went through and had several, many, many debates and discussions over revising the rules and regulations, and that occurred this year. And so if you look on the website, you'll find an updated version of the rules and regulations. And they're not perfect, but they are a little more consistent there. We tried to eliminate some of the contradictions that we had in previous versions of the rules and regulations. And again, the board was involved in that, and Vance helped put that together and proofread. If you have a document that you want to find, 100 errors in, just send it to Vance. He'll find every single one of them. So.
This is an attorney.
It's true.
We also we worked on and debated quite a bit over the bylaw change that's in your packet as far as being voted on today. That we'll see how that turns out. We don't have any legal claims this year, so that we've been lucky there and don't have any issues there. And we've also, as a board, worked on putting together and hiring an outside law firm to handle collections and those kind of things. And that's not finalized, but it's well along the way as far as helping us to make sure that our budget stays in budget, and that that those that aren't paying get the incentive necessary to pay their assessments. One last thing I just want to mention, and I don't know if it's not under my area, but I found it interesting, and that is there's the fiber optic line is crossing in the process of crossing the ranch, and maybe one of you guys can address that. It's something that the members need to be aware of, that here in the near future we anticipate a much better communication with the ranch through internet, through fiber optics, that will really help connect the ranch to civilization as far as for emergencies and for us communication. We really have a hard time with phone systems that we've got, or making the communication easier, and we're hoping that will help push us into the... We want to stay out, and we want to be outside of the hustle and bustle, but believe me, when you have something going on, we have somebody stuck or sick or something else, we want to be able to communicate throughout the year, so we want to make sure that we take advantage of that. So as far as the water committee, I mentioned one thing. We are looking at, in February, there's a class being offered. It's a week-long. We're looking at trying to get more of us certified as water operator, just in case. It's very difficult relying on one person, whoever that is, and regardless of how reliable they are, it's very difficult unless we have multiple people that could, as necessary, step into that role. And so we'll be looking at, and I had quite a few conversations with the state of Utah, and I think February is the time that we'll be looking at trying to get multiple people certified as water operators.
any of the members that are interested in that, I can give you some information, but it's helpful to have that information. That's all I've got as far as the report of where we are and where we're going on the Legal and Water Committee. Are there any questions? Yeah, see, this is the boring stuff. Thank you.
It's really been nice to have Barry and his expertise, his legal expertise and view on things as we've had discussions, and he's been a strong member of the board, and I've appreciated your service, Barry. Thank you.
Jody, you're back on.
Just a little bit on the Facebook page, because it's on the agenda. So we have 304 lots here at Deer Springs. Four of them are owned by BLM. Bill owns 52, so we really only have like 248 or so lot or members. Yet on Facebook, I can post something. I try to keep them up to date on the meetings and when they're happening. There's over 400 followers. I'm like, I don't get it. Who are these people? Anyway, we do have a Facebook site, so I do post on the meetings on there. Basically, if you have any news that you want me to post on there, you can send it. But I'm just wondering, you know, where these people are, who these people are. The only one I know that Tammy Lovett, you're on there quite a bit. Well, you know, you post some feedback, and I put things here and there, but there's not a whole lot of activity. But these people are sending it out to all these people. Like, who are these people? They're like, jump on the Facebook site, show pictures of your vacation here, or the family gathering here, whatever. Just get on there and make a post, and we'll keep it more active than it is. It's a little bit, you know, there's not much to say just when the meetings are. That's all I had to say about it. Who are these people?
Okay. Thank you, Jody.
Mm-hmm. On Facebook, you have to remember, a lot of us have a spouse that's on Facebook, too, so that increases the numbers of people. And you have kids come out and increase the numbers of people.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Okay, Jeff couldn't be here today. Jeff Nicholson, I'll just scan over a few things. We've... As last year, we tried to outline the reservation system. Jeff has had a lot of input and look at our web development and communications, and we've had some good suggestions that Jeff has coached us on. And so we think we're coming of age a little bit. Some of us are a little harder to push into the electronic world, but I think we're getting there. So if you have suggestions or would like to work on doing things that way, we're open and welcome to your input. So, let's see, I've called on everybody, yes. So I'd like to thank the board this year. As you can see, we have had some talented people. A lot has been done. And it's been a real transition finding our managers. Usually we have a manager report, but this manager is pretty shy, and he does a lot, and we have to keep pushing to tell what he did and give a little credit to Alan and his wife. But they've been marvelous. You'll notice if you look around at our sheds, all the old junk is gone. Things are cleaned up. We have what we use. We don't have five of lawnmowers that don't work. It's been a tremendous job that they've done to organize headquarters and to work so hard on our cabins. And so if you don't know the managers that well, walk up and talk to them because they've been excellent, and we've been really pleased and happy, and have tried to cheer them up when the workload is about like this, which it is. So, while we're waiting for that good food, just a little history. This was when we had our annual meeting in 2004. I handed out a big booklet to everybody that was here. I was really in the writing mode that year, but
the interesting thing, as I pondered what I might say to you today, as I look back at what we were working on in 2004, about the things that seem to be priorities, they've changed a little, but not much. And we're all interested in the roads. We want to be able to get to our lots. We're all in. We've always been interested in the cabins and the mice and or what shape they're in. And but in retrospect, looking at what we are working on and what we have now, we have made progress. Sometimes it's like watching the clock that seems to not be moving, but it is. But we've really made a lot of progress in the last 15 years, and our cabins are being cleaner and better physically, and from roofs to porches to septic systems. I think we're coming along, and as I look to the future, I think that we will continue to improve those cabins to where your stay will be more enjoyable. The laundry facility was a big step forward, and you know, we've tried not to raise the budget, which we haven't, and yet the way of those that use the cabins putting in a little extra money for their maintenance has allowed us to do a few little extra things like this, and it's been very helpful. I can say the 20 years or so that I've been around, it seems like everybody recognizes all these things we need to do, but we never have the money to do it. And so we've tried to be frugal as we can, and Jody has been a hawk on the numbers, and with Mariah's help and Linda in the past, we've organized our computer systems, accounting, and put categories, and we're really tracking what we use much closer. And so it seems like we've had a little more money to spend. We've been able to stretch our budget. Brad he talked about magnifying what we have to spend on the land and our fences and our system. If we, through these grants, we're going to magnify the little bit of money we have, hopefully into really making some major steps here. And his expertise this year has been marvelous. And thanks again, Brad, for that. I think one thing that's been happening that I've noticed over the last 20 years I've been associated with this place is more and more, as time goes by and people get a little more adept at staying here more often, or they make cabins, and they rub shoulders, and all of the volunteer stuff that's been done. I feel like we're developing more of a spirit of a ranch community. I think if you're new here, like a few of you are, that's out there for you. And as you get to know, and not just the board members, but all your neighbors, everybody has a great spirit about helping everyone. So don't be shy if you don't know how to do something, or you're wondering about what to do with your ground, or you need help with something. All you have to do is mention it, and a lot of people will help. So I see for the future our family, the spirit of family, growing stronger. Sometimes it's through struggles. We've had disagreements, and you know what? Having 250, 300 people trying to it's a job, and we all have different ideas about how to do things. But I've seen those barriers. There are little incidences here of unpleasantness, but in general, I've seen movement. We're not as bad as Congress. You know, we're a lot better than that. And it's that spirit of community.
Right.
Okay.
Phil, before you finish, can I make one little announcement? Short one.
Okay.
After you finish.
The thing, as I look to the future, too, is we are having more people travel through the ranch. We gained some things, and we made some concession by our allowing a right-of-way. Not ownership of our road, but those people can get to the National Forest on our roads. We've gained signage. We've gained some help, as John explained. But we've had a few problems with speeders, with people pulling off the road. And I want you to know that we've complained when appropriate to the county. We've got more signs and more signs. And you should feel free if you see somebody that's doing something a little odd and you feel up to asking them, are you a member here? Hi. Are you a member? Are you lost? Or what's going on? You should feel free to tell them, this isn't a county road. They have access. They have a right-of-way to get from point A to B through the ranch, but they don't own the road. And they're not to be pulling off into our fish ponds, into your cabin areas. So that's something we're dealing with. The fire thing, as I see in the future, will be tremendous, a great need. And we welcome anybody that wants to help with that committee with Brent Fulmer and the rest. But it's going to take work. And luckily, we have the county and the five county guy, Bevan, here, that's pushing us to get organized. So I see that as a great thing for our future. Well, so I'm pleased with the things that have happened this year. Only see positive things happening, and with our managers, and John has one little thing to say, and I'll just say thank you for your support, thank you for your interest, thank you for being here today, and John, what'd you have?
Yeah, I had one thing that my wife... And one thing that my wife just reminds me of, recently we just had Western Legends here in Kanab. And this year there was a wagon train that searched, looking for permission to come through our ranch. And there's a lot of logistics involved. But anyway, they ended up starting at Dale Clarkson's place. He was gracious enough to allow them to use that spot down there. And I got a free meal out of it. There's a nice bull going.
That's a lot of bull, John.
I got a free meal out of it because Dale Clarkson's place is next door to mine, and they invited me down, and I got a free meal. So this was good. But I got to say, it was kind of cool. They want to do it again next year, and we want to try to do it a little better. But it was kind of cool to see these wagons with the horses and the mules and whatever you pull them coming down our road here. And it was a nice sight. And if we have it again, we'd know about it ahead of time. You ought to come and see it. And then they ended up coming down here, and they stopped here for a sack lunch, and they had lunch. They spent maybe an hour or so here, and we came down again, and we talked to them, met some of the people, and one of the people who was there used to own property here at the ranch. But they come all the way from Georgia and other places here for this thing, and I will have to say, when they came here and they watered their horses and they had their lunch, either the horses didn't do any droppings or they cleaned it up, but it wasn't there. So they did a good job. And try to see it. If it works out next year, come and see it. You'll enjoy it. Thank you.
John. So food is degrading. So right after that we will we'll meet back here. Let's see. When are we having the entertainment? No,
we don't have entertainment.
The entertainment
had to cancel the auction thing.
Well, we should have that.
Are we doing that during?
Is it
after we eat?
Right after we eat.
Okay.
After we eat. I'm going to be the auctioneer, and I'm going to try to squeeze money out of you so we'll have enough money to have another party like this next year. That's where that money goes.
Well, that should go better after lunch then, right?
Fat and happy? Yeah, fat and happy, and I'll remind them. I'll remind you of how good the food was. But you'll starve this next year if we don't raise the money.
Come this way. No, come on.